Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
So, a couple of weeks ago, I shared a message on Sunday night called Same Old, Same Old. And it was around, probably more around the aspect of healing and different difficulties that people face in their lives. And it just wouldn't leave me alone. And a few weeks ago, as I was considering what I was going to share this morning, it just kept coming back and kept coming back. And so today is part two of Same Old, Same Old. And if you know and understand what same old is, if you've ever had someone respond, I think it's more of a probably USA term that people use. But it's like, how are you going? I'm same old, same old. As in, what I've been doing is continuing on. And I'm in the same place I have been for a long, long time. And it doesn't look like things are going to change very soon. And so today, it's more of a spiritual tester of where my life is at, and this is as much about questions that I have about where I'm at as it where it may be for you. And so today is your Christian walk, or is your life with God, or is your relationship with God same old, same old? Is it in a dry state? Is it in a place where you're saying, I'm doing the same things that I've been doing for a long time and nothing's changing? Earlier this week, I shared with the guys that I have breakfast with on Wednesday every couple of weeks, just about where my life is at the moment. And there's been, and I shared with them, there's probably been three or four moments in my life where God has put his finger on me, and he's been there all along. He's always been knocking, but that I remember very clearly those moments in my life. And I'm in one of those moments currently. But the three or four times that I would remember, the first time that I look back and I remember is when I was 17, when I first made a commitment to become a Christian. And I remember that time as a young man, and my parents are here today, which is awesome. As a young man, I grew up in a Christian home, and I was going to a Christian school similar to what Oxley College is. And I remember there was this chapel service they had, and I remember this guy got up and he really irritated me because I was in a place of irritation at the time. And he got up, And he put this, he kind of put this abrasive call up for, you know, not for those who are Christians, stand up. For those who are not Christians, why don't you stand up? Now, I can imagine in a place like this, if we said that is harsh. I reckon that's harsh. So in the abrasive mode that I was, and I wasn't a Christian, and I was very clearly grumpy at the time, I thought, you know what, if you're going to put that call up, well, I'm going to stand up for it. So I made a stand that day to say that I wasn't a Christian. And I thought, you're going to make that call, I'm going to let you know I'm going to make that call. And so it wasn't long after that, needless to say, when you kind of say, God, this is where I'm at in life, that it wasn't long after that, though I remember being in a church service a few weeks later, and there's a man preaching, and I was sitting up the back in a very abrasive state at the same time, sitting up the back thinking, who's this guy and what is he carrying on about? But by the end of the service, and I don't actually remember getting up out of my seat and walking out the front, but I remember making a commitment to Christ that night. And it was almost like I was taken from where I was, placed at the front. And it was just an amazing, and I'll never forget it, because I, not because Not because I remember walking from the back to the front, because I'll forget that, because I still don't remember walking from the back to the front, but I'll never forget the power of God and how he worked in my life. And so some of the guys are here, but probably a few years later, and this is the second thing that I remember really clearly, was a time that we went to Planet Shakers. A few of us guys went to Planet Shakers together, and I know Andy Hunt was there. I remember Ben Wallace was there. Al Nelson was there, and I remember what happened to Alan when we were there. And I just saw the power of God in an amazing way change lives and like transform lives, and some incredible things happened then. And the next time was a little bit different. It was about 6 years ago when I thought my whole world was going to crash down around me. And it was the hardest time in my life, I can tell you. It was the hardest time in my life. I know it was the hardest time in my wife's life. And it was tough. It was really tough. But in amongst it being tough, God was right there in the middle of it. He was there with me all the way. And the work that he was doing, even though it was tough for me, the work was doing was for my benefit. And I look back on that 6 years ago, and as much as I'd never want to go through it again, the peace and the freedom that I walk in today because of what took place back then is like nothing that I've walked in my whole life before, all because of God putting his finger on my life and doing an amazing work. Which brings me to today, or, you know, in the last 2 or 3 months. I've seen a couple of things that have taken place, and I've seen some of the stuff that's been happening in Serge's life, and that's been a real encouragement. But there's this beckoning, there's this calling that God is doing something new, and I don't think it's just in my life but in the church. And I can't explain it, but it's just like the Holy Spirit is doing something new. And he's, you know, whether you talk about that term, same old, he's ripping the same old out of me. And he's saying, there's something more. There's something much more powerful that I have, not just for you, but for others. And if you term it, it's like you'd be sitting in a church and things are a struggle and you'd be going, there's got to be more than this. And I think by the words that I think Mike has shared this year, you know, in the prophetic way that he's brought them, I think God is doing something. And it's not just in me, but it's in others as well. And so this morning is a bit of a tester. And I'm going to ask you some questions this morning that I'm asking of myself and where I'm at. And so I'm going to put these questions up on the screen. I'm going to read them out. And I want you to ask yourselves these questions. There's got to be more than this. Okay, so let's go to the first question. Does your Christian life go outside the walls of the church building? Consider that question. Does your Christian life go outside the walls of the church building? Is this it? Is Sunday it for you in your Christian life? Is it far greater than this, than just coming to church at 10 a.m. on a Sunday? Is it more than that? Okay, second question. When was the last time you ask God to be part of your decision making? Or is what you do in life all you're doing? When was the last time that you asked God to be part of your decision making? By the way, these questions are questions that are being asked of me. So this is all of us being asked these questions. Don't think I'm sitting up here with all the answers. These are all questions for all of us. Third one is, do you have an awareness of the Holy Spirit in your life? Does he speak to you? Do you allow him to speak to you? Next question. Are you convinced that God, and in brackets, knowing everything about you, loves you? Let's just not roll that one off the tongue. Are you convinced that God, because he does, he knows everything about you, are you convinced that he loves you? Next question. Are you led by how you feel? Or are your feelings subject to the Spirit of God? Does your decision making in life, are you led by your feeling? You feel great, so let's get up and let's make a difference for God today. You feel poor about it, and so you don't. Are you led by how you feel, or are your feelings subject to the Spirit? Are you the same person here as you are everywhere? Or is this just a bit of a facade that we put on to go to church? Are you the same person here as you are at work, as you are at home, as you are at play? Are you the same person in all those places? Or is this when we put up our, this the day we put on our church makeup and make it look all really good to everyone so that they think life's going okay? Next question. Christ is in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do others see that? Let me ask it this way. If Christ is in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, do others see Christ in you? Interesting questions, aren't they? These are questions at the core of our Christian walk. Do you love what God loves? God loves transparency. He loves a generous spirit. He loves a servant heart. He loves humility. He loves mercy. He loves justice, a forgiving heart. He loves reconciliation because he is the God of reconciliation. He loves redemption. And he loves truth because he is truth. And are you on the same page as him as what he detests? He detests pride, lies, a non-teachable spirit. He detests vengeance, violence, arrogance. He detests division. Believe it or not, he actually says in the Bible that he detests gossip. He detests hands that shed innocent blood. And he detests selfish ambition. Are you on the same page as where God is? And I want to finish with two questions that God has really spoken to me personally about. Two questions that he's spoken to me personally about. Two things that he said to me. And the first one is, are you prepared, ready to live a life that reflects me so that others can see the real me in you? If I put something in brackets there, it would be all the time. Because people desperately need my love. Second one is, are you prepared, ready to be a witness for me regardless of the cost. The boldness it takes, the risk of embarrassment, and so forth. Because people desperately need my love. Just a bit of a litmus test this morning, a little bit of a question to see, I guess, where the heart's at today. And as I went through those questions, I had a bit of a look at the book of Peter. And I just want to read it for you, 1 Peter. And it kind of probably sums a little bit up where I'm at the moment, where I've been at, where my thoughts have been. And I just want to read this, and then we're going to pick, I'm reading in the New Living Translation, but then we're going to study a little bit of it, three quick things from the Amplified Version. Okay, so if you've got your Bibles, you can follow this. It's not going to be up on the screen, but if you've got your Bibles, it's first the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to read from 13 to 25. All right, so we're ready. Let's go. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the province of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. I think it's Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. And verses 13 to 25. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you, is holy. For the scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favourites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You are cleansed from your sins when you obey the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. For you have been born again, but not a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. As the scripture says, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. The first thing that I took out of that scripture was live obedient. If we can put that up there, the next one, Maddie, that'd be awesome. Live obedient. We've gone to the Amplified Version to read this, and the only reason I read it in a different version is just because the Amplified was quite a bit longer to read the whole thing. So, but I think the core of what we're seeing here is you know, the Amplified spells it out really well. And live as obedient children of God. Do not be conformed to the evil desires which govern you in your ignorance. And I've underlined and gone through this scripture. And it's interesting that some words have stood out to me. And ignorance is one of them. Ignorance means that we must be aware of what God, how God is calling us to live. We must be very aware of it. We can't wander around and just say, well, I didn't know. If you're called by God, you need to know. And the only way to know is to find out. And just coming here on a Sunday, you're not going to find that out. Finding it out takes a little bit more time. There's something that God places in us by the power of His Spirit. But we can't be ignorant. Govern you in your ignorance before you knew the requirements and transforming power of the good news regarding salvation. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in some of your conduct. Does that say some? Occasionally? No, I misread that here. I must have written it wrong. I think it says in all of your conduct. You know, I was playing basketball last week with some of the boys here, and they know who they are. And I was a bit testy last Monday night at basketball. And I had to send them a little bit of a text and apologise because I was a bit testy. And if I'd exploded like I felt like exploding, it would have been very ugly. But on the way home, I was really challenged about that. That the conduct and the way we conduct ourselves is not some of the time, but it's all of the time. Because you never know who's watching. You never know who's watching. Someone could be watching that is on the cusp of considering where God's at in their life. And if they know that you're a Christian, we just want to make sure that we're pushing people in the right direction. There's enough damage being done outside the walls, inside the walls of the church to those outside, that they think if that's what church is about and that's what God's about, then I don't want anything to do with it. There's been this thing that God showed me out of the life of David, and I wasn't going to share it, but I think I need to share it. And this is going to be a straight down the line word of what happens when we're not careful about all our conduct. Now, we know in Scripture it says that David was a man after God's own heart, and that's fantastic. But I don't know whether everyone here knows the story of David. But when he slept with Bathsheba, it started a line of events that caused death in his family. And one of the things that took place was one of his sons, Amnon, raped his stepsister Tamar. And his other brother, or his other son Absalom wasn't happy about that. And Absalom, to cut a long story short, killed Amnon, or had him killed. Then Absalom had some issues he had to deal with, and he tried to take the throne from his father David, and he ended up dying, hanging from a tree. Now, that's a bit of a path of destruction from a father who God says he's a man after his own heart. And God healed him and restored David, but there was a path of destruction in the process. And if we're not wary about all our conduct, and if you have a look at that picture, and if it's a bit of a likeness of the church, what happens is often the family of the church when we're not wary of our conduct, or when we're not considerate of it, the family of the church, inside and out, gets very damaged. And this might be a sobering word, and I'm only going on what God's put on my heart, and this scripture just about David just kept coming back to us. So I love the fact that David was restored, but there was a path of destruction and the process of David's decisions when he decided that he was going to do things his way. And I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anyone here this morning. We've all made mistakes in our life, me including. And God restores us. But we need to consider our decision making in everything we do. Everything we do. In all our conduct, be set apart from the world by your godly character and moral courage. And it's not the first time that someone's got up here and said, be set apart from the world. Why do we have to take on the things that the world do and not live according to what God says? Why do we have to just move in with that and say, well, that's acceptable? Why don't we make a stand as God says and live obedient? You know, Jesus lived obedient to the Father. Now, he's the Son of God. Now, I reckon if the Son of God, who had a pretty good relationship with his Father, needs to live obedient to the Father, then I reckon we do too. John 5:19-20 says, so Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, of his own accord, unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever things the Father does, the Son in his turn also does in the same way. For the Father dearly loves the Son and shows him everything that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will be filled with wonder. So that you will be filled with wonder. When I put up there, live obedient, we need to live a lifestyle of obedience. We need to know what God the Father wants for us and those around us. And if we listen to God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit, he will give us, he will make mention to us, he will say, maybe your conduct in this moment isn't so good because your kids are watching you. The way you responded to your wife, your kids are watching. The way you responded to that person at work, there's someone watching you who knows you're a Christian. They're watching you. We need to live a lifestyle of obedience. We need to ask the Father, as Jesus did, if it was good enough for Jesus, I reckon it's good enough for me. The second thing I had here was weed out what is spiritually unproductive and unnecessary tradition. And so if we read this scripture, it says, for you know that you were not redeemed from your useless, spiritually unproductive way of life, inherited by tradition from your forefathers, with perishable things like silver and gold. It's interesting, some things don't change. It's saying that the spiritual unproductive way of life is often caught up with silver and gold. And this is just a scripture on priorities. Where do your priorities lie? Do your priorities lie in gathering silver and gold? Or do they lie in spiritual productivity? Because, you know, God's Spirit over the top of our life will dictate everything that happens in our life if we allow God to do it. If we allow other things to dictate what God does in our life, God will always get second place. And it's hard to listen to the voice of God when those things are our priorities. So it's important that we remove the things that maybe we've been taught. Maybe we've been taught that. You know, my dad's here today and I mentioned it and he didn't get everything right, but fortunately I had a spiritually, I would say, fairly spiritually productive father. And, you know, he made his mistakes. But I know that there's people that I've seen, their lives totally transformed by Christ, but they've had to unlearn spiritually unproductive ways in their life. Now, you can sit there and say that it's too hard, or you can say, God, I need you to show me how I need to change. And God will change you. He will do it. He has the power. He created heaven and earth. He created you. He created the universe that we can't even get to the end of. And if he has the power to do that, then guess what? He has the power to change you from the way of your spiritual unproductivity that you'd learnt. Are you prepared to let God change you? Because sitting back and go, God, I don't know whether I can do this. God's going to go, well, it's not you that can do this. It's me that can do it. And God can do it. I'm telling you, he can. He's changed my life. And he can change yours too. So it's important that we weed out those spiritually unproductive things that are unnecessary tradition. Ask yourself the question, what are those things? What traditions am I keeping as a son? And what traditions am I building for my kids, if you're a parent here? What traditions am I keeping for my kids that are unspiritually or spiritually unproductive? Okay, third, how will they know? Since by your obedience to the truth you have purified yourselves for a sincere love of the believers, see that you love one another from the heart, always unselfishly seeking the best for one another. John 13:35 says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love and unselfish concern for one another. If you have love and unselfish concern for one another. How will they know? They'll know because we have love for one another. That's how they'll know. How will they be confused if we don't have love for one another? Love one another. Allow God to change our traditions. Live according to the way he does all the time. As best we can, God will help us. We all make mistakes. But we need to know we can't live in ignorance of what he wants. You know, the other part of the testimony that I shared earlier was it something has come alive in me according to wanting to see people beyond the walls of the church? And I'm not saying that it hasn't been there before, but those who don't know God, I want to see them come to know God. And whether that be through signs and wonders, whether it be through a word of knowledge, whether it be through loving people into the kingdom, God has begun something in me and I've got a long way to go. But if we don't operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, then it's just words or it's just actions, because it's the words and the actions with the power of the Holy Spirit that changes a life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that changes a life. And one of the things that happened with Jesus, and I watched this awesome, incredible teaching on the Holy Spirit the other day, and I shared a little bit with Felicity this morning, was that Jesus never did miracles before he got baptized. Okay, and when he got baptized, he received the power of the Holy Spirit, and then he went out and he did miracles. We saw, you know, the blind get sight. We saw, you know, people delivered from deep. We saw all sorts of things. And we started to see those things take place. Now, he was still involved with the church and he was still in the church before that point. But it was like when he got baptized and when he received the Holy Spirit, everything started to go nuts. The whole world turned upside down. Everyone wanted to see Jesus. And so one of the things about Jesus, once again, if it's good enough for him, it's probably good enough for me, is that numerous times in the Bible, and if we can have those last two things up there, please, Matt. One of the things in the Bible that we see is Jesus drew aside. And I love this. Matthew 14:23, it says, after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. And Mark 1:35 says, early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went out to a secluded place and was praying there. And Luke 6:12 says, now at this time, Jesus went off to the mountain to pray and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. Now you might say, I haven't got time to draw aside because I'm too busy. Let me ask you this, where did your busyness get you? What was the result of your busyness? Silver and gold? Maybe. A stressed life? Maybe. The pressures of the world? Possibly. But Jesus drew aside so he could listen to the Father, and the Father was able to tell him what was coming up next. He drew aside so he could understand and hear the voice of the Father, so he could be obedient to the voice as he walked around day to day. If he was here today, he'd probably work in the paint department at Bunnings with an apron on. And someone come up to the paint desk, and this challenges me. Someone would come up to the paint desk and they might wheel up instead of walking. What colour do you want? How bad do you want to walk? He might see someone who's got a stinking attitude. And he might just quietly walk outside the paint desk and go, you know what? What's going on in your life? How often have we asked that of people? How often have we been Jesus to people? Have we drawn aside so we can hear what God would have us do? He was led by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2:37, it says, you know the things that have taken place throughout Judea, starting in Galilee after the baptism preached by John. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with great power. And he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. So he drew aside and he operated in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this question again. When's the last time you listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit? When's the last time you drew aside? It's not a condemnatory message. It's a message that I'm being challenged with. When's the last time I asked someone at the paint desk, how are you going? Because essentially that's what Jesus did. Jesus went out. It wasn't within the walls of a church, although he did do that, that the changes took place. We think of Zacchaeus. Everyone hated Zacchaeus. Jesus changed him in a moment. We think of the Samaritan woman. We think of the woman caught in adultery. We think of those things that took place where lives were changed in a moment. And you might go, well, Chris, I don't know whether they want to hear what I've got to say. Well, that's not our business. Our business is to hear the voice and to obey and live a lifestyle of obedience to his voice. Josh, if you can come up and the worship team can come up. And if we could distribute the elements, please. We're going to take communion together. And the challenge today, for me as it is for others here, and it may or may not be a challenge for you, is it's time to draw aside. And it's time to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because we have a dying world outside the walls of this church. They're dying. And they need Jesus. As much as there's self-help stuff going on out there, and there's programs for everyone, Jesus is the only one that can take a life and transform it in a moment. And Jesus empowered the disciples. The disciples received the Holy Spirit and they went out to the highways and the byways and they saw change take place. Through one man, that all took place. Imagine what would happen if the church was empowered to get out and do the same. And I'm not saying there are elements of the church that don't, and I'm not saying there are individuals that don't. But sometimes our mentality is that we come to church to get fixed because of the hard week we've had. Maybe we need to change our mentality to go, I'm going to get equipped at church to go out and to see people's lives changed. And yes, you know, even in that book in Peter, they were going through hard times, some of those disciples of Jesus. They were going through hard times, but part of it was to say, keep going. Keep working through. In all your conduct, in all things. But if we don't do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we don't recognise that what Jesus did for us on the cross is the reason that we sit here today, then it will always be out of human effort. So we celebrate communion today celebrate the things that Christ has done, for the example he was to us. And every single one of us is a little Christ sitting here that has accepted Christ. Luke, you're a little Christ. Kurt, you're a little Christ. Ian, you're a little Christ. And we walk out those doors and we represent Christ. And today we remember the body and the blood of Christ and what he's done for us. And we walk out of here and we say we don't want to forget what Christ has done for us. We don't want to forget his broken body. It was paid, the ransom was paid for a purpose, so that lives could be changed. So I would like everyone to stand this morning if we can. If we can together. And I want us to remember today what Christ has done. Remember what he's called us to. For his body and for his blood. I just want you to take a moment and consider the price paid for all our lives. Just take a moment. Father, we just give you thanks for the work that you've done in us. We just give you thanks for your body that was broken for us. And what this cup represents, your blood that was shed to wash away our sins. And Lord, we are grateful. And today we remember, we never forget the purpose that we're called to because of what you have done. And Father, we just give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Let's take together. Thank you, Lord, for your body. Thank you for your blood. Here's what we're going to do. As I prepared this message, and particularly on Friday, one of the things that kept coming through to me was the voice of the Holy Spirit. Just kept coming back. The voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the things that David said, and I shared about David said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." So if you've been in a place of same old, and those questions that I asked this morning you can relate to, and you say, it's been a long time since I've actively listened for the voice of the Holy Spirit to guide my life, or I've never heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, or I've never pursued the Holy Spirit, or I don't understand the Holy Spirit, then what I want you to do is I want you to come forward. And I believe God's going to do an amazing thing this morning. He's going to do a restorative work. And he's going to do an empowering work today. And so you will know if God's speaking to you. And without any music for the moment, if you're going, I don't want to be in that same old place, or I don't understand the Holy Spirit, and I want to be empowered to go beyond these walls, then I just want you to walk straight down the front. Just walk straight down.